You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. I'm Clint Clifton, and today I'm joined by two good friends, Colby Garman and Ray Clark. Colby has been married since 2001 to Annie, and he's got four girls. He oversees the teaching ministries of Pillar Church in Dumfries, right outside Washington, D.C., the church that I planted. And before coming to Pillar, Colby served as an associate pastor, but also as a missionary with the International Mission Board in the nation of Iceland. Colby graduated from Liberty University, and he also went to Biola, where he earned an MA in Christian apologetics. And we have Ray Clark. Ray has been a member of the NAM team since 2011. He works primarily for NAM in real estate and investments. He works both on the Send Network side, the church planting side, and on the Send Relief side, providing relief. Currently, he serves in a role of strategic initiatives and works with the team there in NAM. Prior to joining NAM, he worked in real estate banking and equity, and he's been party to more than $2 billion, that's with a B, dollars worth of commercial real estate transactions over the past 17 years. Ray is also a member and serves as an elder at Church of the Cross in Grapevine, Texas. Ray and Colby, welcome to the New Churches Podcast.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Clint. Looking forward to our conversation.
So before we get started today, I want to let you know about Daniel Mackett's article on the subject that we're talking about today. His article is titled Creative Facility Solutions for New Churches, and it's on the articles tab of newchurches.com, and it's a very helpful read if you're interested in this subject. So Ray and Colby, as we get into the subject at hand, finding a facility for a new church is one of the most challenging aspects of planting, particularly in an urban environment. So let's start off by talking about the facilities that are commonly used by churches. So Colby, what facilities are you seeing church plants use regularly?
Honestly, church planters will use just about any space that they can gather a crowd in. The probably first and foremost, a lot of churches start in schools. They meet in school cafeterias or school auditoriums. It's probably one of the most common settings, both in suburban and urban environments. In addition to that, other gathering spaces for events like movie theaters or small concert venues. You know, there was a church here in our community that started in the Brew Republic because they had a stage and plenty of space and weren't open on Sunday mornings. And then hotel ballrooms and conference centers, those sort of spaces are often really useful for churches to get started in. I would say those are the big ones, although there's lots of options that you see churches using.
Yeah. Ray, let's talk about some of the advantages and disadvantages of owning a facility. Almost every church planter I know wishes he owned a facility. And in some ways, when you're in the throes of church planting and things get difficult, you start to believe that if you had a facility, it would solve all of the problems that you have. And I know that's not true. And eventually, every church planter that thinks that will realize that it's not true. In fact, in some ways, it creates some problems. So let's talk about some of the advantages and disadvantages of owning a facility.
Yeah. And just to echo what you were saying, you know, rightly thinking about facilities as a tool for ministry is probably the healthiest place that a church planter could start. That the facility just facilitates the gathering of the church. The church is the people. And oftentimes, we get so stuck on a facility that we lose sight of the realities of what is a church. So start with that. But some of the real positives of having a facility is the permanency and the ability to put a stake in the ground for the community that you're serving. You're there loving that community, wanting to meet the needs and share the gospel. And that building gives you a little bit of a status in that community because you're there. You're not there today, gone tomorrow. You're there because you have a facility and you are a part of the fabric of the community. Now, some of the things that come along with that are additional expenses and work of your body to just maintain and upkeep that facility. And so those are some of the drawbacks, but they can often be outweighed by some of the positives, which is the status that you have in the community that you're serving because you have a presence. Oftentimes it's hard to meet the needs of a community when you're not there or when you're not there regularly. And so having that permanent facility can really help the people of the church serve and meet the needs of that community.
Right.
Now, yeah, Clint, I was just thinking, you know, one of the advantages that I see as a pastor slash planter whose church is 17 years old and still not in a permanent facility is I've watched as different churches can take body blows of change or difficulty. When you have a facility, there's just something about the stability of it that perpetuates the opportunity for the future. You know, whereas churches that go through real difficulties and they don't have a facility, I've watched as some of those churches then just fall apart altogether. Right. During those times, because there's a certain vulnerability to not being in your own facility. On the flip side, there are some real disadvantages. One, we start to assume that if we get in a facility, it will make the church functional. Mm-hmm. But I think about that like a family, you know, a family that's not well relationally doesn't get better by owning their own home. They just change the address where they have their problems. Right. And so, you know, it does help. It's a blessing, but it's only one part of the toolkit or one piece of the pie for that can facilitate things. But we got to focus on the mission and many other things to make the church healthy.
Yeah, great point. Ray, for years now, you've been working to help churches obtain facilities. In fact, our main interface, you and I, over the past few years, has been talking about various church planters and helping them get into facilities. Quite a few of the church planters we work with here in the DC Baltimore region, you have helped get into facilities. Everybody thinks that they're ready for that step, though. Many church planters aren't ready for that step, though. How do you advise church planters when you're talking to them, or maybe pastors that don't yet have permanent facilities, about their readiness for a facility?
Yeah, some of the things that we talk about are just some of the normal functions of running an organization, such as a budget and tracking income and expenses and having a good allocation of where those income and expenses are going. Oftentimes we'll get calls from churches that are ready to go look at facilities. And one of the first questions we ask them is, can you send us your financials, or what was your annual, what's your average annual income right now? And oftentimes we get blank stares or, that's a really good question. And so oftentimes the first place to start is really understanding where you're at. And the only way to understand where you're at is to actually track.
Yeah.
So that's the first place you got to start. But let's just assume that a church does understand where they're at. Then they've got to assess the realities of the community that they're in. And what are the costs to go and achieve their goals of obtaining a permanent facility, and then putting that in line with the budget and income and expenses that they have.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Colby, the church that you lead is in the midst of a really pretty creative facility solution. Do you mind describing to us how you guys have chosen to go into a partnership with another organization in order to build a facility and why you chose to do that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to think about some of even what Ray just said, you know, when we look at our financials and what we think a useful facility would look like for us, We're an otherwise thriving church of 250 plus, and but the sort of facility we would want to be in for the future, you know, is really cost prohibitive to a lot of what we want our mission to be about, especially church multiplication as we focus on church planting, give a lot of money to missions. And we live in a highly transient environment in a military community where it can get pretty unpredictable year over year for us, with military moves and change that happens. So we've sought out a solution where we can build a multi-use property. And so we've got, we got 7 acres here in Dumfries, where we've worked with an organization called Community Housing Initiative to make a plan for that 7 acres that includes an apartment building for 62 plus apartment building, and on the opposite end of that property, facility that's going to be like a community center that we're going to meet in. We'll have primary ownership over. And so really what's happened is there's a kind of a split between the way the property be used. There's a partnership in the apartment building, and then we have primary ownership on the other side of the property, and have been working with this development team to do that. We'll gain some income from the apartment building and what goes into that. It'll also help defray a lot of the costs of excavation and site plan and everything that goes into not just the physical building, but what underlays a property that is about 50% of the expense anyway. And so it's just going to be helpful for us to get into a facility at a lower cost.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I would love for listeners to take away from this is just the simple idea that we don't live in the environment that maybe our parents and grandparents lived in, where a church could simply purchase a piece of property and build a facility, and the municipalities were, you know, kind of happy for a church to be in the community, and the financing options were plentiful. We don't live in that environment right now. The environment that we're in right now, our municipalities are often, you know, not excited about giving away otherwise taxable property. They're not excited about more churches in a community, and there are not a whole bunch of financing options available. So creative facility solutions are needed, I think more than ever. And when I think about that, I think about the fact that, you know, like just sort of using the way it's been done in the past, churches tend to overextend themselves financially for a facility. Yeah. They think, I have to do this to stabilize the church, to help the church grow or get to the next level. Ray, are there any like rules of thumb that church planters could keep in mind regarding how much of the church plant's overall budget should be allocated to a facility?
Yeah. And we say all the time to church leaders and planters and pastors, there's a bunch of different ways we can kill a church. We cannot get into a facility fast enough. We can we can buy a facility with not enough parking. We can overextend the budget, and that's the one that we see most often being the challenge that churches face. A couple of things to think about are your debt as a percentage of the total budget. A good rule of thumb would be about 25% of your budget allocated to your debt payment. Obviously, the smaller that is, so if you move towards 20, 15, 10%, that's more dollars you have for personnel, missions, and ministry. Uh-huh. But oftentimes, to be able to achieve that first unit facility, we're looking at 25, 30, maybe even eclipsing 30% of that total budget. So yeah, just practically that $100,000 budget, $25,000 to $30,000 of that spent on your debt service. So when you go buy a property, you capitalize it with two things, equity and debt. Most bankers are going to require 20 to 25%. So in $1 million property, we've got to go achieve $200,000 to $250,000 of equity, and then $750,000 of debt.
So let's assume that the church planners listening to this don't understand equity. So that's either cash or what?
Yeah, cash that you put in into the deal.
It could be other things, I'm assuming, since you said equity and not cash.
Yeah, so cash and equity is what we're talking about.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It doesn't
That's good clarification.
So if a church had, say, another asset that could be collateral, is that possible?
That is possible. We don't often see that, so we don't often talk about that. But let's just say a church had a piece of property that they owned free and clear, meaning they had no debt on it, and it was worth $1 million. Mm-hmm. Then it could be used as additional collateral for a lender, to look at.
One of the things I was thinking, you know, kind of hearing that juxtaposed with like our facility sort of development plan. Ray, when you hear some of the just basic details of what we described about what we're doing, what sort of dangers should we be watching out for as we think about beyond just sort of a straightforward buy the land, put a church building down? You know, we're looking at a bit of a creative solution. What sort of dangers might we be getting ourselves into?
Yeah, one of the beautiful things of looking at these alternative situations is additional cash flow to help you carry the strategy that you're deploying. But oftentimes what comes with that is additional operation. And you as a pastor, you're leading the local church. And you've got to be really careful that you're not going to partner up with something that's going to cause you to focus on a different operation. So oftentimes we see, you know, a coffee shop concept. Well, a coffee shop runs 100 hours a week. And that's a significant operation that has to be run. Well, the church also runs 100 hours a week. And the lead pastor can only do so much. And so ensuring that we protect the capacity of the church to be the church and not tethering ourselves to something that's going to eat up the capacity that we need to be a successful church.
Oh, that's good.
What I like about what you're talking about is you've defined the relationship and they have their own operation, and it feels like a real estate strategy more than an operational strategy. And so I think you're protecting yourself against that capacity creep that could really keep you from being who God's called you to be in the community that you're in.
That's really helpful.
In most cities and municipalities, there are a lot of rules surrounding gatherings, assembly use, sometimes that's called. How could a church planner go about educating themselves about the legalities of owning or even renting a facility, given that the reality that there are a lot of rules associated with how you can gather groups of people?
Yeah. That's a good question. And I think that's one of the key pieces of work that that a church would endeavor to figure out before they get too far down the road. They can save themselves a lot of heartache and a lot of time and oftentimes a lot of money trying to figure out where they should be looking or how they should be looking at the facilities that are in their community based on the municipality. Oftentimes, the number one place you go to start that conversation is planning and zoning. Hmm. And they often have pre-application meetings where it happens every week. You can go in and sit with the leaders of the various aspects of that community's leadership, like the fire chief and the director of planning and zoning, and just make your intentions known, and then they give you the lay of the land and tell you how to achieve what it is that you need to achieve. But you could also Google or, you know, use your favorite browser, whatever it is that you would like to do. And the community that you're in and planning and zoning, often you can find a lot of those answers on the web.
Yeah.
Now for the average, go ahead, Colby.
No, I was going to say, I mean, a good example of the project we're doing in their master zoning plan, the section our property was in was a primary mixed use development that also negated church, basically assembly use or church use, just because of a number of things in our community. They had limited that section for churches not to build. And so we got creative with what our facility would function as in order to work with them to figure that out. And so even the facility we'll meet in is a community center that the church will also be able to meet in on the weekends and evenings.
Yeah, but we had to obtain a special use permit for that to happen.
Oftentimes, special use permit. That's a key word that I think every pastor can put in their hat that will help them as they navigate those conversations with your municipality. The other thing to know, you buy a house and you move in and you don't have to achieve occupancy, but every commercial space, every separate user has to obtain their own occupancy permit. So you're going to have to go through it. And so if you're at the beginning of exploring this, understanding how to do that inside of your local city or county government is the place to start.
A lot of church planners that I've worked with over the years have simply found a warehouse space or a storefront space and popped up a sign and started holding worship services. But in most places, if you're governmental authorities are paying attention, you're going to get in a lot of trouble and shut down real quick. If you're in the rental facility segment of your sort of history period where you're on the early end where you're renting facilities, probably best to go ahead and think about renting facilities that are already tagged for assembly use, and you're renting them for just a few hours. So one of those permits wouldn't have to be obtained. So before we wrap up, I'm just curious, it's kind of maybe an overarching question. How important should owning a facility be in the list of priorities for a church planting pastor? Colby, why don't you start?
Yeah, somewhere down the list in my mind of like fourth or fifth priority of what you're doing, defining your mission well, making sure that that your understanding of how you're reaching your community through evangelism and discipleship, how you're developing leaders, all of those things are more important than owning your own facility. But at some point, figuring out how to create long-term institutional stability is an important task.
Great. Ray, what do you think about that?
Yeah. I'm assuming that this podcast is reaching people in all different types of context. And so I would want to just couch this with a sense of reality that there are some that will never achieve permanent facility status. And that's okay. But I would say for probably a large portion of the churches across the United States, I'd be with Colby. A lot of these other pieces are much, much more important. But having a permanent facility communicates something to the community that you're serving, that just changes a lot of things. And so it definitely needs to be something that's in your plan, something that you're leading towards, but leading towards in an open way.
Yeah. Both of you, really helpful conversation. I know this is going to be an episode that lots of church planners are going to be interested in, because virtually every church planner I know of is dealing with some version of this situation. So thank you for your wisdom and the time you've taken today.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.